The sermon title today is The Backup Plan. And today we're going to take somebody's life and we're going to cover their life from birth to death within the next 20 minutes. The individual's name is Jacob. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25 in your Bible today. And we're going to read quite a bit of Genesis chapter 25 and about the life of Jacob. But it's really, really interesting, and there's countless sermons here, but there's a goal that I'm striving to attain, and we're going to keep working towards that goal. So there's a lot of things I'm going to go over briefly, but I've got an end point I want us to arrive at. So in Genesis chapter 25, when you get to verse 21, we're going to read verses 21 through 26, and then we're going to stop for a moment. So verse 21 says this, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.' So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there was twins in the womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. And afterwards his brother came out. His hand took a hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them." If we stop for a moment, in verse 23, the Lord mentions that there is two nations that are in the womb, which will be Israel and Edom, or Edom, however you want to say there. And there was already conflict in the womb. We see the conflict because Rebekah was saying, "If all is well, why am I feeling the way I feel right now? What is going on?" And the Lord explained to her that there was two nations that were in the womb. And he says, "Our people, one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So there was already conflict, and that conflict would grow to get worse. In verse 26, Jacob's name, meaning heel grabber, supplanter, deceiver. Let's read on to verse 27. "So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter and man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." Oh, and you thought your family was the only family that had problems, right? All the way back, it started. In verse 23, Rebekah had already been told that the older would serve the younger. And you talk about conflict, it started in the womb, but it would only grow to get worse. In verse 29, it goes on to say, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, 'Look, I'm almost to die. So what is this birthright to me?' And then Jacob said, 'Swear to me of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and then he ate and he drank and he arose and went his way. Thus Esau had despised his birthright." Now, if we go back to chapter 27, or go to 27, I'm sorry, go to 27 and go to verse 1. So we're going to skip ahead. "Now, it came to pass when Isaac was old, His eyes were dim so that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me a savory food such as I love, to bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me. I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice goats, kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death." Well, we know that Isaac did bless Jacob. Jacob the deceiver would also be deceived later on by his father-in-law Laban. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 9, it says this: "Then Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I have crossed over this Jordan with my staff. Now I have become two companies.'" Jacob says, "Well, God, you told me this." But did he really believe God when God told him to go back to his country? And the answer is no, he did not. Otherwise, he would not have prepared to meet his brother with the backup plan. And that's what we're talking about today, is the backup plan. So God told him in verse 9, "Then Jacob said, 'O God, my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you.'" Then verse 12, "For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude." Well, I believe that God is who he is, and he will do what he says he will do, but just in case, this is plan B. Now you go to 32 and look at verse 4. "And he commanded him, saying, 'Speak this to my lord Esau,'" because Esau was going to meet Jacob. Do you think Jacob was just a little bit concerned about that meeting after he had deceived him and he had robbed him and he had sold him his birthright? He was a little bit concerned about that. But at the same time, the Lord told him, "This is what I want you to do." But Jacob really didn't believe God. Only part way did he believe him. Because he says here in 32 verse 4, "And he's commanded him, saying, 'Speak thus to my lord Esau, thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight.' Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We come to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.'" So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape." Is that walking in faith? And the answer is no, it is not walking in faith. Because God had told him, "This is what I want you to do." And how many times do you and I do the same thing? We always have a backup plan. God, this is what I'm praying. God, this is what I'm believing. God, this is what your Holy Spirit is telling me. But just in case that don't work out, just in case that doesn't work out, I've got another plan. Husband and wives will do that. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe God. But still, we're going to set all these things up in case it doesn't work out the way that we think that is going to be working out. That is not walking in faith. That is walking in unbelief. Jacob was walking in unbelief in his relationship with his heavenly Father. So too many of us do that. Oh, I'm not saying that you have no faith, but how many times did Jesus tell his disciples that they had little faith? In fact, he told them 5 times in the New Testament. 4 times in the book of Matthew, he told them, "Ye of little faith," because they were not trusting completely. Jacob had spent his whole life depending on deceit, manipulation, and self-reliance. But he was about to learn an important lesson. How many of us depend on self-reliance? How many of us believe in this or believe in that? And that's really our backup plan, that we're really putting our trust in that. And we don't fully really submit it all to God and say, "God, I believe that you are who you are and you will do what you say that you will do. And I'm going to put my whole trust into you." That lesson would be his reliance needed to be on God and not in himself. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. And you're going to go to verse 22. In verse 22, we're going to see a wrestling match between Jacob and God. In verse 22, he says, "And he rose that night and took his 2 wives, his 2 female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw what he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him, and he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.'" Jacob would wrestle with God. From that time forward, Jacob would have a limp. Jacob's name would be changed to Israel, pointing the victorious to victory. In your life, for you to know that how much that you ever wrestle with God, the only way that you can be victorious in your life is through the Lord Jesus Christ and not yourself. For Jacob's self-reliance turned into God-reliance. And are you relying on God today, or are you relying on yourself? If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. In chapter 3, it says this, chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to what? Your own understanding." Are you leaning on self? Are you leaning on God? Do you know where most depression and anxiety comes from? Self-reliance. Leaning on yourself. The fear of failure. The fear of not being good enough. The fear of not being able to do it, to not be able to accomplish the task. I am a failure. Are you of little faith? Are you leaning on God, or are you leaning on yourself? The scripture tells us that we need to lean completely, not just partially, but we need to lean completely on our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Leo is nothing. It's okay to be nothing, because you know why? It's because God is everything. I can accomplish nothing, but God can accomplish everything. I don't have to be smart enough, because my God knows all. Amen. That we walk in faith and we lean not in our own understanding, but in verse 6, in all your ways you acknowledge him and allow him to direct your path. What did we say? You can only be victorious in this life through Jesus Christ. You will never be victorious through yourself. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, if I'm not to lean on my own abilities, then whose am I to lean on? Allowing God is to lean on him and allow him to lead and direct our pathway. What does Paul say? We've been studying Philippians in Sunday school. I have no confidence in the flesh. And if anyone could have more confidence, it would be me. But I have no confidence in the flesh. Where was he saying? My confidence is through my relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my confidence is in God. Now, there's an interesting end to this story. Because I told you I would take you from Jacob's birth until his death. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Of all the things that he had done, all the deception, he's still listed in the heroes of faith because he learned to put his confidence in God. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, if you go to verse 21, I think this is just a neat, neat verse. In verse 21 of Hebrews 11, it says this, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Leaning on the top of his staff. Jacob would always walk with a limp, reminding him that his reliance needed to be on God instead of himself. This is what it says in Psalm 23:4, which most of you are very familiar with. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jacob's staff of strength was his relationship that he had in God. That's the staff he leaned on. It was God. Are you learning to lean today? That your hand would be upon each and every one of their lives, that you would gather us all back together as soon as possible. And Father, we today give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.